or toasting the deal with my business partner at our favorite bar. That anchor thought keeps me grounded, present, and powerful during the negotiation. You see, when you enter a conversation in business or in life and you're managing a fear, you will not be your best self because part of your mind is busy trying to manage that fear in real time. That's not just me. This is study after study after study has proven that when you're worried, there are entire parts of your brain that can't even focus on what you're trying to do in the moment because they are distracted, as in fully pulled in a different direction. When you have an anchor thought, it allows you to disappear the fear the moment that you notice your mind drift to it. Remember, even though your fears and your habits can hijack you in 5 seconds, you can take back control just as quickly. As Claudia writes, "Thank you. You've helped so many of us face our fears. I've used the 5-4-3-2-1 method and will continue to do so forever." I'm telling you right now, you can change how you think. You can take control of your mind. The moment that you notice that your mind is drifting to a thought that does not serve you, that does not empower you, that is negative, that beats you down, 5-4-3-2-1. You are one decision away, literally, from a totally different life, from a totally different attitude. You can, and using this rule, you will rewire your mind. Part 5, courage changes everything. All right, we are now coming down to the end of the book, and this last section is going to help you become the most fulfilled person that you know. Now, as we're nearing the end of the book, let me just recap everything that we've covered, which is a hell of a lot. You've learned the story of the rule. You understand the concept of everyday courage. You've covered the tactical uses of the 5-second rule. So now you know how you can use the rule to change behavior. And you also know how you can use the rule to change your mind, your thoughts, your mindset. So now you're ready to dive into the deeper and more soulful topics that are going to impact your connection to yourself. First, let's explore confidence and how you can build it using acts of everyday courage. You're going to learn about the surprising connection between confidence and personality. You're also going to meet people who have had great success building their confidence, and you're going to hear their deeply honest social media stories about how they reconnected with the most important person in their lives, themselves. Second, you're going to learn how everyday courage helps you discover your passion. You're going to meet men and women around the world who are using the 5-second rule to win the battle with fear and self-doubt and find the courage to pursue what's in their hearts. It's my hope that their examples are going to inspire you to do the same. And finally, we're going to explore what creates deep and meaningful connections in relationships and why courage is such a critical component. The amazing stories in this section will inspire you to make the most of the time that you have with the people that you love. And it's going to give you one simple thing that you can do at any moment and at any time to deepen your relationships. Bring tissues. This is my favorite section of the book, because if you can enrich your self-confidence, passion, and connection with people, your life will transform in ways that you thought you could only dream of. So what do you say we dig in? Let's start with chapter 15, Building Real Confidence. A big mistake that people make is thinking that confidence is a matter of personality. Confidence is not a matter of personality at all. Confidence just means that you believe in yourself. You believe in your ideas, and you believe in your capabilities. Anyone can learn how to become more confident. That's because it's a skill, not a personality trait. Now, you may have an extroverted personality, and you might talk a lot, but that doesn't mean you're confident. The most vocal person in the room might be really insecure and only says what he or she thinks will make them look good. I mean, just look no further than me. For a really long time, I was a very loud person, a bossy person, I was crass. But the truth is, I felt insecure in myself. I didn't believe in my ideas, and I certainly didn't believe in my abilities. Now, let's contrast that with the quietest people that you know. The quietest person in the room, they might actually be the most confident. Your best friend, who's an introvert, might believe in her ideas with great confidence, and she might actually get annoyed when you don't ask her about them. I know this because I'm married to an introvert, and my husband Chris, he's a very confident guy. And he does get very annoyed, in fact, when I don't ask him what he's thinking. You know, your friend who's introverted and quiet, she might be afraid of speaking up because her face turns red. But I want you to understand, she's not lacking confidence in her ideas. She's lacking courage. See, she just needs a little courage to push herself through the fear of being judged for having those bright red cheeks. You know, I had an experience recently that illustrates the connection between confidence, courage, and personality. I want to tell you this story because it's also going to show you once again this concept of authentic pride. We've mentioned that a few times in the book, and it's a really foundational concept in psychology. Authentic pride is the pride that you feel when you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and you push yourself outside your comfort zone to do something that matters to you. You surprise yourself. That's why you feel proud of yourself. So let me tell you the story. Recently, I had a chance to speak at Cisco Systems. Now, they're one of the largest networking technology and services company in the entire world. A few months later, after I gave that first talk, I was invited back to give a similar talk. I guess it went pretty well the first time, so they had me back. But this time, it was to a much smaller group of just senior engineers at Cisco. So when I arrived for that second talk in San Jose, a man came running up to me as I was setting up with the AV team in the back of the room. I mean, he was so excited to see me. He came running up, he had his arms extended, and he, Mel, and he literally greeted me like he was an old pal. And look, I'm from the Midwest, so there's nothing more than I love than a big hug. And he could hardly contain himself. He said, oh my gosh, I was so excited to hear that you were speaking at this event. I got something so exciting to tell you about the rule, Mel. So he had been in the audience several months before when I had spoken at Cisco Live. And during that speech, as I often do, I often give the audience a homework assignment that will help them start using the 5-second rule right away. And here's how the homework assignment goes. Basically, I tell everybody in the audience, okay, I want you to introduce yourself to 3 strangers today at the conference using the 5-second rule. And then I explain what's going to happen when you use the 5-second rule. What's going to happen is you're going to leave the session. You're going to have been introduced to the 5-second rule. You're going to walk out of the session and suddenly you're going to feel drawn towards somebody. Okay. Your instincts are going to fire up. And for whatever reason, don't doubt them. Your instincts are going to pull you towards somebody. I tell the audience, look, you can be attracted to the person. Just don't be a weirdo about it as you approach them. Okay. Don't get all stalkerish on people, but just notice who you're drawn toward in a crowd. Start walking. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Start walking immediately. And I explain, this is what you can expect because it sounds so simple, right? Everything in this book is simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy because your feelings and because your head is going to get involved. The moment that you see this person, and the moment you realize, oh, this is what Mel's talking about. This is that instinct. I need to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and lean into it. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to hesitate. That's going to wake up your mind. And then your brain's going to get involved. And your brain's going to start saying things to you like, ooh, well, they're talking to somebody else. I don't want to be rude. It'd be rude if I go up. Or then you're going to look at them and you're going to think, ooh, well, you know, we don't have a lot of time in this break, so maybe I'll catch them at the next session. No, you won't. You're not going to catch them at the next session. It's now or it's never. So whatever it is that your brain is going to tell you the moment you hesitate, it's bullshit. You need to move now or else you're going to lose the moment. So it was really cute because my new engineer friend, he was sitting there recapping my entire assignment to me. You know, when you said this and then you said that. And so then he tells me that right after the speech that something happened to him. So after the speech at Cisco Live, he leaves the big auditorium. He floods out of that room with several thousand people. He's standing in the hallway, kind of just surveying the crowd to see who he's going to walk up to. And boom, John Chambers walks by. I know you're thinking, well, who the hell is John Chambers? John Chambers was the CEO of Cisco. So John Chambers starts walking by our engineering friend. And he's with a group of senior leaders in the company. Now, you got to understand something. John Chambers might as well be John Legend because John Chambers is a legend at Cisco Systems. And from all accounts, he's a really great guy. Chambers was the CEO for 20 years. And what was interesting is this moment was a really important one. Because at Cisco Live, when I was speaking there, they were going to be announcing the next day that Chambers was stepping down as CEO. And another guy, Chuck Robbins, was going to be taking over. So here he is, walking, right in front of our engineering friend. My engineering friend's never met him. So he is standing in the hallway, fresh from learning the 5-second rule. He sees Chambers. His instincts fire up. He immediately has the urge to just walk right over to John Chambers, introduce himself, thank Chambers for inspiring him. He wanted to let him know that he felt so much pride being an engineer at Cisco. And he sits there and he's telling me this, and he told me that he knew this was it. And then he froze. And Chambers walked by. And that was it. He blew it. It was the push moment. That was it right there. The 5-second window had opened. He knew what he needed to do. He forgot to count. He just froze. And I was like, oh, man, that stinks. And he sat there and he was explaining to me, he said, I felt paralyzed, Mel. And then he added in this bit about how he was introverted, right? That he's shy. That this sort of thing doesn't come naturally to him. That it's really hard for him to walk up and introduce himself to people. And a lot of people write about this, by the way. If you find it very difficult to go to a networking meeting or to introduce yourself to people, that is extraordinarily common thing to struggle with. So the moment passes. And of course, what does he do? He beats himself up all day. He blew it. I'm sure there are moments in your life that feel like this one, where you had your opportunity and you chickened out. You had your opportunity and you got paralyzed. And luckily, that's not the end of the story. Because the very next morning, our friend was taking a run. See, in San Diego, there's this really neat part downtown by the convention center, which is where Cisco Live was being held. It's called the Embarcadero. And it's this big jogging path that runs past the marina and all through the parks and past the naval bases. It's really super cool. And it's always filled with runners and joggers. And so, you know, our friend, the engineer, was out there the next morning and he had his headphones on and he was listening to music and he was taking a jog and taking it all in. And all of a sudden, who do you suppose he sees ahead of him on the bike path? That's right. None other than John Chambers. Now, Chambers was alone, and he had his headphones on, and he was jogging too. And my friend told me, he's like, I knew this was it. It was now or never. I was being given a second chance, and I was not going to lose it. And he said, you know, I was immediately concerned, like immediately, seize the opportunity, and what did I tell you? The moment your instincts fire up, what's going to happen? Your brain's going to get involved. And he said he could feel the window starting to close because now his mind started to say, oh, well, you know, Chambers is out on his own. It would be rude to interrupt him. It would be out of place. He starts like thinking, and then he caught himself. That's all you need to do. The moment you catch yourself hesitating, the moment you catch yourself starting to talk yourself out of something, that's a moment of power. Start counting. Assert yourself. Lean into what you want to do and pull away from the things that are the excuses in your head. He went 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He sped up, caught up to Chambers, tapped him on the shoulders. He apologized for interrupting, and then he explained how he had always wanted to thank him for such an incredible career that he had had at Cisco. Now, according to my friend, the two men stopped jogging, and they started walking. And they walked and talked for nearly 15 minutes, according to my friend. And he said that John Chambers was delightful and engaging, and they talked about all kinds of stuff, work and life. And my friend even felt the confidence to raise an idea that he had related to a project that he was working on, something that he saw as some sort of process improvement and innovation, if you will. Now, at the end of the talk, according to my friend, Chambers shook his hand and thanked him for introducing himself, and he even gave the engineer the name of a senior person in the organization in charge of innovation. And according to our friend, said, hey, use my name and tell him we spoke and that I wanted you to share your idea with him. I got to tell you something. As my engineering friend stood there, he was beaming. I mean, you know when somebody's like just lit up? They're so full of life. They just light up the room. He looked like a Christmas tree, for crying out loud. He was so bright. And then he said, you know, Mel, it was the highlight of my career. And if it hadn't been for the 5-second rule, it never would have happened. And then he said, oh my gosh, I almost forgot. I'm now interviewing for a job with the guy Chambers introduced me to. How cool is that? Now, did he get the job? I have no idea. And here's the thing. A new job isn't the point of the story. It's not why I'm telling you this. Because remember back to the story that I told you about Tom and the bar? That the point of the story about Tom and the bar, it's not about the girl. Whether Tom gets the girl or not, whether they get married, whether they have sex, whether they don't talk, she doesn't matter. Tom does. You see, there's a power in making decisions. The power is within you. Period. The reason why this story about the engineer is so important is not because of the fact that it may lead to a new job. It's because this singular experience where our friend the engineer discovered his courage and his confidence in a 5-second window, that has the potential to change more than his job. If he continues to use the rule to listen to follow his instincts, it could very well change the trajectory of his life. And, you know, the thing that I want you to consider is he was lit up like a Christmas tree, not because he met the CEO of his company. I mean, that's cool. But he was lit up because of the authentic pride that you feel when you honor your own desires and you take control of your life. It feels so good when you know that you can rely on yourself. I mean, remember, confidence in yourself is built through acts of courage. You prove it to yourself by showing yourself that your own instincts are worth acting on. That's what he was experiencing, the radiance of knowing that he could count on himself. And the more that he practices pushing himself, the more confident he'll become in himself, regardless of how shy and introverted he is. Remember, confidence is the small things you do that build trust in yourself. I received a message from a man named Bill that's going to help me illustrate this point about learning to trust yourself. Bill described a struggle that so many of us face with a level of raw honesty that is inspiring. Bill's life on the outside sounds pretty remarkable. He's married, has 4 great kids, a very successful career, and he's the president of a professional association. Great life, huh? Sure sounds like it. But there's something missing. And it's a meaningful connection that Bill has with himself. And Bill is courageous enough to actually admit that he's not living with conviction. And like so many of us, he's developed a habit of hesitating, overthinking, and then never doing or saying what he should be doing or saying. And Bill feels as though he's lost somehow the ability to make a real connection with people. See, he's forgotten the most important person he's lost connection with, and that's himself. And when you lose touch with yourself, you will feel adrift. I want you to hear what he had to say. This is what he wrote. Thanks and kudos to you for having the guts to tell it like you see it. I'm 53, a father of 4, with 3 grown-up daughters, and now a 5-year-old, kinder boy with a second wife. I'm a senior project manager for my company, as well as the manager of our construction department. I also volunteer with the local PMI chapter. Just getting into my president's term. It's a great life, huh? Except I have an issue being the real me. I've lost somehow the ability to make a real connection with people. Things are not very exciting in the bedroom. I struggle with knowing what I really want. And I have a habit of hesitating, overthinking, then never doing or saying what I should be doing or saying. Nothing earth-shattering. But just not living with conviction. My life doesn't have that flavor of congruency. So the 5-second rule came into my life last Saturday at PMI National, and little by little, I've started the journey of 1,000 steps. being honest but tactful with people, giving back every chance I get, making tough decisions at work, focusing on priorities and being able to say no when I need to, getting out of bed and taking the dogs out. Just little steps, but it is exhilarating, exciting, and also I am quietly learning to trust myself. A big difference because I'm moving forward. You know, a good life is made up of small steps, making tough decisions, being able to say no, even getting out of bed and taking the dogs out just because you said you would. They may be little steps in learning to trust yourself, but they are the most exhilarating moves that you can make because you're making them for yourself. Bill's not the only one. Tracy's a 48-year-old stay-at-home mom who felt stuck in a rut when she discovered the 5-second rule. And wham, like a light had been turned on. She now uses the rule to do things that are small in the big scheme of things, but the feeling and uplift that they give her is huge. I want you to hear a little bit about what she had to say. This is what she wrote. Most of the applications of the 5-second rule were small in the big scheme of things, but the feeling and uplift they gave me is huge. Here's a brief list of some of the things I have done using the 5-second rule that I would not have done otherwise. I stood up and danced by myself at a music concert. I took and posted a picture of myself with an author I admire, and I don't like pictures of myself. I spoke in front of a congregation in my church. I spoke to my husband about something that was bothering me. I introduced myself to people I wanted to meet, and I have accomplished more around my home, not putting things off as much. In and of themselves, they are not earth-shattering events, but I did them because of the power behind the 5-second rule. I'm trying to use this tool now for things I consider to be bigger struggles, such as losing extra weight I have been carrying around for 25 years, and to getting up the courage to attend my 30-year high school reunion, considering the amount of weight that I've gained. I even use the 5-second rule to write and submit my story. I also try to share the message of the 5-second rule with others and have heard and seen some people putting it into practice for themselves. I know I will continue to use this empowering yet so simple life-changing formula. For the first time in a long time, I feel like I'm beginning to get unstuck and climb out of my rut, and I can't wait to see what happens next. You see, confidence builds when you do things that affirm your sense of self, particularly when they are things that you might not normally do, like getting up on time, speaking in front of your church, or chasing down the CEO of Cisco on a bike path. These are acts of everyday courage, and they build confidence. You know, Crystal attended the same Cisco Live event as the engineer, that first big one, and she wrote to me about the 5-second rule. She realized after learning the rule that for the last 8 years, she had second-guessed every single step she had taken. As she put it, I thought someone was interesting, and then a second later, my mind would give me a million reasons why I shouldn't speak to them. So she started implementing 5-4-3-2-1 right away. First, by sitting next to people she didn't know in a breakout session. The very next day, when the instructor asked if anyone had any questions, she realized she did, but she was too embarrassed to ask, then thought, you know what? You would have stood up if you stopped thinking about it, so I did. Using the 5-second rule, she stood up and asked her question. She also inspired two other women to stand up in a room full of male engineers and do the same. Next, she 5-4-3-2-1 and made herself go to a basketball game. Heck, instead of me summarizing it, let me tell you in her words. I hadn't realized that for the past 8 years, I had second-guessed every step I had taken. I thought someone was interesting, and then a second later, my mind would give me a million reasons why not to try to speak to them. After having heard about your 5-second rule, I found myself implementing it right away. I met people I wouldn't have met had I not. I walked into a class full of people and searched for people I knew to sit next to them, and then said, hey, what are you doing? Get your butt over there and meet new people. Sit anywhere. I did. Then when the instructor asked if anyone had any questions, I realized I did, but was embarrassed to even ask, especially if I had to stand up. I then thought, you know what? You would have stood up if you just stopped thinking about it. So I did. I stood up and asked my question. After I did, two other girls in the room full of men did too. It felt great. Later, I was invited to watch a basketball game, and at first it sounded great, but then I thought I should rest at the hotel. I'm so glad I decided to go with my first instinct. I met the Cisco VP and even obtained their card. The day I heard you at Cisco Live has changed a lot about me. I have a new job that pays me the amount I deserve. I have a new title. I jumped up 3 positions. I finally took the leap to buy a house after many years of thinking about it. The least I can say is thank you. Thank you for opening my eyes to the 5-second rule, which has made all the difference. And she's not the only one. Nobuo started using the 5-second rule after he was released from his job. Let me tell you what he said. He wrote, 2 years ago, I happened to watch your TEDx talk, Mel. Listening to the talk, I became to realize that the 5-second rule might be able to work for me. After I was released from an executive director of a company, my life was changed completely, not only mentally, but also financially. I lost my motivation to create a new life, and I felt like I'm incapable. However, the 5-second rule helped me a lot, and I decided to apply the rule to my daily life. After starting to use the rule little by little, the power and energy has come back to my heart, my mind, and my body. I often quote Mel's comment on my blog and translate it into Japanese. Using the rule to practice acts of everyday courage. Remember, it's little by little that you're going to find what Crystal wrote about, the power and energy. It's going to come back into your heart, mind, and body. It's come back because when you prove to yourself, little by little, that you can count on yourself, you realize you do, in fact, have control and power in your life. There's one more point I want to make about personality and confidence. Remember that engineer? Remember what he said right after he described how he froze the first time he saw Chambers walk by in the hallway? You remember the excuse that he gave me? It was like an explanation. He said, I'm an introvert. I'm shy. This sort of thing doesn't come naturally to me. What if I told you that nothing about your life or personality is fixed or comes naturally anyway? Nothing comes naturally until you practice it. That's why I keep saying you must practice acts of everyday courage. You see, you have the ability to improve, change, or enrich every single aspect of your life through action. There's a professor at the University of Cambridge by the name of Brian Little. I just love him, and he gave this great, it's really funny. If you like a dry sense of humor, you're going to want to watch it. His TED Talk is called, Who Are You Really? The Puzzle of Personality. Well, in it, he talks about the difference between extroverts and introverts and the things that make us who we are. According to Professor Little, it's the doings. It's the personal projects. And he describes how some of our traits are more fixed and automatic, but many of the things about you are free traits that you can adjust in order to advance a core project in your life. Professor Little explains that like the engineer at Cisco, he too is an introvert. He too is shy. However, his core personal project is being a professor. He loves to profess. He loves to teach people the things that he's studying. So even as an introvert, he, quote, acts out of character when he is up in front of the class so he can connect and teach his students. How does he do it? Through deliberate and purposeful action. He pushes himself. The engineer's personal project was to express his gratitude to the CEO, John Chambers. That's why he had the instinct to act out of character. It wasn't in his character, in his nature to walk up to somebody. But because this was a core project for him, it was important to him, it mattered. That's why his instincts fired up. How did he actually push himself? You know the answer, the 5-second rule. In both examples, two things are present. There's a desire to do something that's meaningful. For Professor Little, it's teaching and connecting with students. For the engineer, it's connecting with John Chambers. And there's also deliberate action. There is a push that you do on purpose to make yourself act out of character. Now look, Does it feel harder for an introvert to walk up to a CEO or talk in front of her church or teach a class than it feels for an extrovert? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on how confident you are. Has nothing to do with whether or not you're extroverted or introverted. And confidence, as you know, is a skill that you build by pushing yourself. As Professor Little likes to say, you're like some other people and like no other person. What I do know is that the very first time you do anything, I don't care if you're introverted or extroverted, the very first time you do it, it's going to feel difficult. Might even feel a little scary. That's okay. Expect it. You're going to need a little courage. The fact is, you, me, we're all capable of acting out a character when it serves an important purpose. And the most important purpose I can think of is improving your life in ways that make you come alive and feel happy and fulfilled. So how do you act out a character? Simple. Practice everyday courage using the 5-second rule. Those acts may not seem earth-shattering, but they will shatter self-doubt over time. There is so much greatness inside each and every one of us. There is greatness inside of you, absolutely. And, you know, I want you to hear what Amber wrote when she discovered the 5-second rule and started using it. You are freaking incredible, and because of you, I now know so am I. I really love listening to you, and she really loves the 5-second rule because she's getting in touch with the incredible part of her that's right in there. And the same's going to happen to you, which, you know, I just want to go right back to the beginning point. The more that you push yourself, the more you will believe that you're in control of your life. And as a result, the more confident you're going to become. Even when what you need to do scares you to death, the rule is going to help you take the action that you need. Michelle found the courage, for example, to quit her toxic, anxiety-ridden job. And even though she's scared of the unknown, she now feels more confident in herself. This is what she wrote. I quit my toxic, anxiety-ridden job this week, and while I am so scared of the unknown coming up, I have never felt more confident in myself and capabilities after learning the rule. I want to thank you so deeply for pushing me to go for something better. You're changing me without even knowing it. No, Michelle, you're changing yourself. As Michelle discovered, doing things that scare you actually makes you more confident. Because if you have the courage to take action when you're afraid, your confidence will follow. And every time you push yourself to speak when you're nervous or act when you're terrified or get to the gym when you don't feel like it, you realize that you can rely on yourself to get anything done. And from this belief in your personal abilities will flow the mental confidence. Jay goes to a performing arts high school in Toronto. He's always been nervous, but now that he knows the rule, there's a heck of a lot of cool stuff that's going on. I can tell you that within a couple months of using the 5-second rule, this is what he wrote. I can tell you within a couple months of using the 5-second rule, it has really started to change my life. I go to a performing arts high school in Toronto. I love it. Every day I get to work with an inspiring team of teachers and directors. I've always loved performing, and I've also always been nervous to go out for things. Putting the 5-second rule into practice, I find that I now have not only been getting more parts, but I've gained a lot of self-confidence. I feel now I have the passion to inspire others as well. The more you use the rule, the faster your confidence will grow. Stacy uses the rule almost every day to act with courage. Here's what she has to say. Your rule has helped me grow in ways I never thought possible. I have this confidence now that I never thought I was capable of having, and I'm showing my team that it's inside them as well. I no longer procrastinate on anything, which just that in itself is an amazing accomplishment for me. She's using it to build her business. She no longer hides because of fear, and that's why she feels so amazing. Throughout this book, you've heard stories of people who've taken very simple, very small steps forward, and their entire outlook on life has changed. Now, it's tempting to dismiss these stories, because doesn't it seem implausible that by simply waking up on time every morning and taking the dogs out and learning to say no, that you could actually create a chain of events that impacts your confidence and changes the trajectory of your life? It does seem absurd, doesn't it? However, this is exactly how you do it. Stop focusing on the big things. Because when you focus on the big stuff, you actually miss the important things. They're really little. All you need to do is use 5-4-3-2-1 go on the smallest stuff. And you will see that these moments are not so small at all. As Bill said, daily courageous actions, the stuff that you said you would do, the stuff that in your heart you want to do, getting out of bed, making tough decisions, being able to say no, giving back every chance you get, speaking in front of your church congregation, and focusing on priorities, they create a ripple effect that change your life. These are little steps, but the payoff is everything that you want. Confidence, control, and a sense of pride in yourself that feels damn good. Chapter 16, Pursuing Passion. You know, over the years, I've received a lot of questions about how to find your passion and purpose, and not once have I ever been asked to help somebody think about their passion. That's because finding your passion is an active process, and you'll find that the 5-second rule is an incredible tool as opportunities to explore your passions and deepen them are going to start to appear. What typically stops people from, quote, finding their passion is that they can't get out of their thoughts and actually move into action. When you use the 5-second rule to 5-4-3-2-1 and push yourself to start exploring, and also to lean into opportunities as they appear, you're going to be shocked at where it leads. Now, in this chapter, we're going to talk about how you move into action. But I can't help but want to tell you about something that you can find on my website right now that I don't talk about in the book. If you go to my website, melrobbins.com, you're going to find courses. And there's a course that I just finished taping yesterday. This is not a joke. I just finished taping this yesterday before we came into the studio to record this book and talk to you. And it's a course about passion. Not about the stuff that we're going to talk about in this book, in this chapter, but it's actually about what passion is. And the fact is that most of us think about passion as something that's outside of us. And the truth is, when you hear passion, I just want you to think energy. I want you to think that passion is a state of being. It's not a thing. It's a state of being where you feel energized and excited and you want to dig in and learn more, that you lose track of time. And so if you're at a point in your life where you actually feel really lost because you don't know what your passion is, or you want to explore more of the meaty intellectual side of passion and how you just fundamentally turn it on in yourself, head over to melrobbins.com and check out that course. I am incredibly proud of it. I literally rewrote it 7 times. Because passion can be one of these topics that is a throwaway and you get a bunch of generic advice and nothing changes. This is a course that digs deep, and there's a lot of free material on the website that you can find as well. You don't need to buy it, but I just wanted to call that to your attention. What we're going to talk about in this chapter is when you figure out the things that you want to pursue and explore that make you feel energized, how do you do that? How do you create a life where you spend more of your time doing things that energize you? Well, it begins with giving yourself the permission to explore. I know it sounds really stupid, but let's talk about it, because, you know, these things that sound obvious are often much deeper than you realize. How do you explore? What do you do? Let's say you're interested in something, you're passionate, or so you think about something. Well, you're going to hire the best guide you can find, and it's free, your curiosity. Your curiosity is how your instincts get you to pay attention to what your heart really cares about. If you can't stop thinking about something, make it a new hobby. Do not try to make money at it. That is the wrong way to start at something. I hate it when people like approach passion and they start by saying, oh, you know, I want to build a business around it. First, let's just make it a hobby, okay? So pay close attention also to envy. If you find that you're jealous of someone else, Don't run away from that feeling. Dig in. Explore it. Be curious about it. What aspect of this person's life or work or skills or creative pursuits are you actually jealous of? This may give you a clue into what you really want for yourself. The next thing that you're going to do as you start to explore, you're paying attention to curiosity, you're paying attention to jealousy. I want you to push yourself to take some simple steps to dig in deeper. Read about it. Watch video tutorials. Talk to people. Take a class. Write a plan. You'll be surprised what happens over time if you decide to take something that you're curious about and turn it into a hobby. Because one of the things that I know that's true about things that you're truly passionate about is that you would do anything to learn more about it. It's a sunny weekend, beautiful day, your friends are going to the beach, but if you're passionate about cooking and Gordon Ramsay's in town and he's giving a course about it, you're not going to be at the beach. You're going to be at that course because this is something that energizes you. Your passion could be photography. When Chris first discovered the 5-second rule 4 years ago, you know what he did for a living? He was the CIO at a bank. That's a big job, by the way. Chief information officer. All kinds of responsibility when you have that job. And by the way, he still is the chief information officer at a huge bank. But he used the rule to allow himself to start exploring for real something he was really curious about. And that's photography. He'd always loved photography. He'd loved going to photography exhibits. He loved buying books about photography. He had a fancy camera. But he had never allowed himself to truly step in and start exploring it as a hobby. He used the 5-second rule to force himself to take a class, to start to shoot for friends. 4 years later, the guy has been on the cover of 2 magazines. He's won multiple awards. He's launched a side business, and he is now a professional photographer on the side while he's also the CIO of a bank. It's awesome. See, your curiosity will lead you to learn more about something. I mean, maybe you're interested in launching a gourmet food business. It doesn't matter if you've never done it before. I mean, one of the things that's so cool about the world that we live in is you've got so many resources at your disposal. I mean, you've heard of YouTube, right? There's a video tutorial on everything these days. You curious about going into beauty school? That's the wrong word for it, but you want to become an esthetician or you want to become a hairdresser, you want to become a makeup artist, go to YouTube. You can get all your training right there. It's absolutely unbelievable. Take Eric, for example. So Eric lives in Cambodia, and I have been fortunate enough to spend a bunch of time in Phnom Penh in particular. Wi-Fi is not that great, but you can still get YouTube. He had an idea. He wanted to start exploring an export business. So here's what he wrote. He was just curious about it. You know, he's going about his life over in Cambodia, and it keeps kind of popping into his head. So why not lean into it? What do you got to lose? You got this thing that you keep thinking about. Get it out of your head. Get curious. He writes, I currently live in Cambodia and have been here almost 2 years. I came here after a divorce to teach English, as well as to learn to be content being myself. Lately, I felt very homesick, yet my gut had told me that if I returned to Atlanta, Georgia, where I'm from, I would regret it. Good for you, Eric, for listening to that. I've had an idea of wanting to start a business exporting some rare food items from here that are not available in the U.S. and should be, as I want to, share these wonderful ingredients, this lovely country, with people in the U.S. I have a great friend in Atlanta that actually runs a gourmet food wholesale distribution company that sells many comparable niche items. I have a product. I have a way to distribute the product. Yet, I have no idea. How the heck do you start and run your own business? Well, since I learned the rule, I've purchased and already read half of a book. What do you suppose it's called, guys? Starting Your Own Import-Export Business. I bet you there's a dozen books about it. He's also watched several YouTube videos. For the first time in my life, I have an idea that I'm passionate about that could actually become a business. See, this is so important. Will he launch the business? Who knows? Who cares? The more important thing is by leaning into an idea and getting curious about it and giving himself the permission and the push to explore it. Did you hear what he said? For the first time in my life, I have an idea I'm passionate about. You can feel his energy. That's how you discover your passion. You 5-4-3-2-1 and explore the things that you're curious about. Now, the next phase, because I know there are a lot of you that are already in that category. I know what I want to do. How do you keep going? Well, this is the next phase. It's all about building momentum. Because it's going to start with that instinct and the curiosity. It always does. First you take a class, then a class leads to a certification, then a certification leads to a conversation, then conversations lead to opportunities, then small opportunities lead to larger opportunities. Maybe you're going to want to share something, for example, that you've learned in a class that you've taken with people at work. So you use the rule to approach your boss or the head of HR to ask permission to give a little brown bag lunch on what you just learned about. And then suddenly, guess what's going to happen as you start to go from exploring to explaining what you're doing? That's when momentum kicks in. And trust me, you're going to curse me. Because as things actually start to happen, you're going to need courage. You're going to need to trust yourself. Because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be exploring what you find that's fascinating. And then as you start explaining it out in the world, things are going to take off. That's exactly what happened to Joe. Now, Joe is a banker in London, and she's a fabulous example of how something teeny, teeny tiny, like taking a class just because you're curious about a topic, how something that small can grow into something remarkable, like an entirely new career. Now, this story is an unbelievable example of how exploration leads to momentum and how it all begins with something really small. So Joanne writes, I did a presentation on limiting beliefs and an introduction to our maps of the world at my team meeting of 8 people. I was nervous, but I did it as I recently qualified as a master NLP practitioner, and I wanted to share what I had learned. When the presentation ended, my head of function walked up to me. This is her head of function at the bank, and said, "This is what you should be doing. You could make a career doing this." To say I was buzzing after this and the other feedback I got made me feel awesome. I mean, it was an understatement to say that I was buzzing. I got brave and decided to put the 5-second rule in action, so I went to my laptop and I typed an email to one of the largest women's network in the UK, managed by Lloyds Banking Group, my bank. It's called Breakthrough, to offer my services. I think I actually posted something on your Facebook page this morning. Long story short, they came back and said they would love to have me do a presentation at their event in Scotland. Fast forward a couple weeks to Tuesday last week, and a very nervous me was, I'll be honest, cursing you, Mel, and the 5-second rule, as I was terrified. But I did the presentation in Scotland, and you know what? I was so good, we have a waiting list of people who couldn't make it due to the line being blocked out, timing of the first session, and word of mouth on how good it was, so I've been asked to run a second session. I've also been approached about jobs, and people are asking me to help them work through their limiting beliefs and coach them with their goals and outcomes. All of this happened because of the 5-second rule and sending one email. This stuff works, and I tell everybody to give it a go and see where it gets them, maybe even where they want to be. It's so true. When you follow your instincts. And her beginning instinct, by the way, was to take a single class in the practice of NLP. That's what began all this. And that one class awoken something in her. The same thing happened for my husband, by the way. He had been practicing yoga for years, and he always had this lingering curiosity about what it would be like to take a teacher training. And he would never let himself just sign up, because he would stop and think about it. And then he'd think, oh, I'm too busy, or, oh, you know, I don't have time, or, oh, I don't want to teach anyway, instead of just honoring that instinct. So he 5-4-3-2-1 and signed up about 6 months ago. Guess what? He not only found the time, he's actually teaching his first yoga class as a certified instructor next Friday. And I'll tell you what, he is cursing the 5-second rule. He's excited and he's terrified. but the momentum has kicked in. Finally, what's going to happen? Just like you kind of heard with Joe, and what's going to happen with Chris is, as you then start doing this thing that you are passionate about, remember, passion is not the teaching yoga. Passion is not leading classes in NLP. Passion is not running a professional photography business. Passion is the thing that you feel. It's the energy. It's the engagement. It's the excitement as you're doing those things. And as you practice these things that make you feel passionate, you're going to get busier and busier. And, you know, you're going to be confronted. Just like Joe, I am sure, is going to be very confronted. When do I quit my job as a banker and step into this full time? When do I retire as a CIO and become a full-time photographer? When do I take on a full-time teaching schedule as a yoga instructor? When do I launch this export business for real? You see, there's no magic formula for when to pull the trigger and turn one of these projects, these hobbies, into a passion-driven career or a major life change. It will require planning. I know that this is a book about five-second decisions, but when you're talking about making a decision about the thing that's going to produce income, you do need to take some time and do some slow, deep thinking. You got to crunch the numbers and make sure you understand how much you need to make in order to justify this decision, because nothing will suck the passion that you feel out of a hobby more than pressure to make money at it. So this is something to think through, to plan through. And if you're anything like the rest of us, you're probably going to torture yourself for a while until you can't stand straddling both your present life and the future one that you've already kind of started through this exploration and that momentum's building around. Now, Mikkel had a major passion that she wanted to turn into a company, and she had been wanting to do it for years, years. Well, she just 5-4-3-2-1 and pushed herself to announce the start of her new business. It's really exciting. And now she has a reason to not hit the snooze button anymore. See, this is how this all kind of builds on it. It starts with you pushing your ass out of bed when the alarm rings and carving out time to figure out what's important to you, and organizing your day around getting some progress done on those. And then as you fire up your instincts and you now have a little bit of extra time, you're going to start exploring things that you're curious about. And then as momentum kicks in, you're going to find the courage to actually make some even bolder moves. She writes, I used the 5-second rule today to announce the start of my new business of horse and rider portraits. I've been wanting to do it for years, but have just held back. I cannot wait. Oh, I'm so excited for her. And the reason why I'm excited is because we all deserve to wake up and feel a sense of engagement and enthusiasm about what we want to do today. Just like Mikkel, if you're thinking about making the leap like her, make sure to be intentional about how you ask yourself the question. Let me give you an example. Ask the heart first question. Am I ready to commit to this? Don't ask the thinking question. Do I feel ready to commit to this? Because as you know, you'll never feel ready. The moment you answer yes to the question, am I ready? Then you can use the rule to give yourself that final push. Now, even when you're ready, it's not going to feel good when you do it. Just ask Todd. Now, Todd is in Australia, and he's known for a very long time exactly what he's passionate about, what brings him energy, what makes him feel engaged. It's physical education. He loves the subject. He's always dreamed, for as long as he can remember, of teaching it and having his own personal training business. Now, as a high schooler, he knew that he wanted to pursue a degree in physical education, but his parents were way more conservative. They don't know anybody in physical education. They don't know that you can have a great business life running your own personal training business. They were like, oh, no. If you're going to college, you're getting a professional degree. We're not paying for physical education. They pressured him. And Todd buckled. And now he's pursuing a professional degree. You think he's passionate about it? Of course not. He doesn't feel energized. He feels drained and depleted. So 4 years later, Todd is now a senior in college. He's getting a dual major split between law and business. His heart has never been in it, never been passionate about it. You know how you can tell? If you're depleted about something, not for you. If it energizes you, totally for you. So why did he stay in the major? Why do any of us do anything? Because of fear and because of his feelings. The thought of disappointing his parents, it was overwhelming. Like nothing will put a pit in your stomach more than the idea, that look on your mom or dad's face when you know that they are just so disappointed in you. Every single day for 4 years. You know what he thought about? He thought about withdrawing. He thought about leaving that university. He thought about going to a different college and getting that degree in physical education, but just like the engineer, because he was thinking, he was paralyzed. I mean, walking into the registrar's office and filling out the paperwork to withdraw, that's easy. Facing the disappointment of your parents, on the other hand, that can crush your soul. So for almost 4 years, you got this guy, Todd, sitting in classes in Australia, wanting to withdraw, but terrified. No idea how to face the parents. The five-second rule, that's how he finally did it. So Todd was sitting in a class entitled Law S5513. Sounds horrid, doesn't it? He was listening to a lecture on advanced taxation law. Shoot me. I know, look, you may be listening and that just is like, whoa, if I could study advanced, great, that's your passion. Go for it. Not me. And then he realized this is it. This is what he wrote to me. I can attest to you the dislike I had for such a program. I wanted to withdraw from the moment I started. But what is perhaps more disturbing about this entire situation is that I had literally allowed myself to study a degree up to the final year before I decided I was entirely and completely done with hating my life. You see, Todd could see the future. And when you're living a life where you don't feel any passion and you start to project ahead at a whole life with no passion, that is a wake-up call. That is a moment of power. That is your instincts firing up and saying, holy cow, get the parachute on and get out of this plane, man. Save your life. He could see the future. This is what Todd saw. My parents would then send me off to do my master's. And along I would go, living my life for everyone but myself. He described the instinct to act and the five-second decision that made it happen. I realized I need to just start. I need to withdraw. I need to gather up my books, and stood up in the middle of class and left. That's what he did. One decision changes everything. I said at the beginning of this book, you are one decision away from a totally different life. Whether that decision is to chase down the CEO of Cisco Systems, or that decision is to get up out of class and withdraw from a program that you just can't stand, or it's to walk across a bar and say hello to somebody that you feel drawn toward. One decision changes everything. Todd's body was shaking, but he was moving in the right direction. He went straight to the registrar's office, where he unenrolled from the university. He then got in the car and drove 2 hours south of Brisbane to the Queensland University of Technology, where he then applied for the degree of his dreams. That fateful Tuesday morning was 2 years ago. Todd is now 24 years old and halfway through his teaching degree, and he has never had this much fun in his life. He's been accepted into the honors education program for the next year, and as he puts it, I have found my purpose. This is, in fact, exactly what I was supposed to be doing all along. As for his parents, of course they were disappointed. They're parents. That's what we do. I can tell you, I have 3 kids. That's my job. I cheer you on and then I get disappointed and then I love you anyway. When he initially told them that he didn't want to be a lawyer, of course they were disappointed because that was their dream, not his. But I'll tell you what, they were way more disappointed by the fact that Todd had been scared to tell them and had been unhappy for so long. And I think that there's an interesting lesson there about the people that love you. And that is that, yeah, people may have expectations about what it is that you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to.